to be up here giving the word of the Lord. A double honor because we're so busy. I was in worship and I was just kind of thinking about the actual idea of us covering ground for the Lord. Being on the attack or on the offense, being aggressive, spreading out, scattering out. Satan has his hold on so many things, but the Lord is about to start breaking his hold. He's about to start breaking the hold. He's about to start loosening up the ground in a physical and in a spiritual. And that's just awesome to be a part of that. Praise the Lord. Miss Sandy, is it going? Y'all, we're live? Sorry. Okay. We bow our head for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all your goodness, Lord. We just thank you for being with us and watching over us and protecting us throughout the week, Lord. We just thank you for allowing us to make it to your time of rest, Lord. For we know, Lord, that this is when we will get replenished, we will get restoration. Father, that you will heal our wings, that we can fly again for another week, Lord, that we can make it back to your gates next week, Lord. For we thank you, Father, for things that you are doing, Lord, and different revelations for different people in the congregation. Just the idea that we are on the move and we are spreading ground for you, Lord. Not ground for our own self, for our own selfish gain, but for the Lord's gain, for the Lord's victory. We pray, Lord, that these words today, Father, that they will be your words, that you will remove me out the way, Lord, that I may be nothing but just a servant today, Lord, for you. We pray that wherever these CDs go, Lord, that whoever is a listener, Lord, that this message will be for them, that there will be something, Lord, that you are wanting to get across to them, Lord, that can just be evidence of the Holy Spirit, of the Ruach HaKodesh, of being one mind, one spirit, striving together, Lord, for these are your things that all of your people will walk together as one. So we give you all the praise and glory, Lord, and we thank you for everything. Just ask you to be with us, Lord, and be with this message today. We just hope that the worship was just good and pleasing in your sight, Lord. We just ask that you be with the brethren. May they have traveling grace to and fro. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good morning and Shabbat Shalom to the children of God, saints of the Most High, scattered offspring of the 12 tribes of Israel, slaves of righteousness to Jesus the Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of the living God, whom God himself raised from the dead. Today the word of the Lord is inquiring of the Lord. If there was ever a time for anybody who is a believer of God the Father, a Christian according to the life and commandments of Christ, the time for inquiring of God was yesterday. Or maybe almost a month ago, my wife was awakened. The Lord woke her up, and she had texted me at work. I was working overnight shift, and she gave me a definition. The definition she gave me was inquire, to ask, to seek, to learn by asking, to seek information by questioning. Synonym: search, analyze, query, investigate, examine, explore, and study. And it was interesting because when I was preparing for my last message, I kind of was thinking that inquire of the Lord would be something that might be a future message. And, I really wasn't for sure, but when she woke up at 3 or 4, whatever time in the morning, and sent me that text, it's just kind of that, it's just that confirmation. It's just the Most High giving that stamp. This is good. Okay. We're going to look at the word inquire. We're also going to look at ask and seek from a biblical understanding. When the pure and perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed roughly 2,000 years ago on Passover, the veil was torn down, meaning that I and we don't need a pastor, a priest, a rabbi, a teacher, etc., to be our agents before God. Christ is my high priest in heaven who atones for my sins. That is, if I'm willing to repent. The same high priest in heaven is also my redeemer. the one who will gather all the scattered seed of Israel and Judah, the same high priest and redeemer, is soon, very soon, to become the king and righteous heir of all things. So let's inquire to God and include him in all that we do, from personal needings, healing, finances, which way you drive to work. What if you're somebody somewhere stranded and they're praying to the Lord, "Lord, I need help. Send me help." And you take off and you leave, and the Lord says, "Take a left," and you take a right. You might have been the help for the person in need. You might have been that help. So let's include the Most High in everything that we do, every aspect of our life. And there's a big mirror right here today, because a lot of that's going to be for me too. Everything, everything, everything. Don't leave him out of anything. Let's ask the Father things that are appropriate, and may we ask him in his Son's name. Let's seek the kingdom of God and let the Lord take care of our needs. Okay, we're going to start off with inquire. Okay, inquire is darash, in Hebrew, darash, usually to follow for pursuit or search, to seek, ask, to worship, consult, require, diligently make inquisition, frequent. Private seeking of God, which sometimes indicate a private seeking of God in prayer for direction or contacting a prophet. The word is used in the sense of entering a relationship with him. The prophets used this word as they called the people to make them about face in their life. Make an about face, to turn around. You're going a certain way, turn around. Stop doing this physical action, because it's sin. Turn back to God and be righteous and be proper and be holy to the Most High. Okay? Let's open up our word and let's go to 1 Samuel 9:9. 1 Samuel 9:9, and when you get there, may the people of the Most High just give me an amen, and I'll start reading. 1 Samuel 9:9. And I'll be reading this out of King James Version. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come and let us go to the seer." For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Okay? So in time past, you had a middleman to get to the Lord. Okay, you had a middleman to get to the Lord. Okay, let's turn to Exodus 18. I have a lot of scriptures today, and I'm gonna try to do my best to get through these. My wife looked at my notes last night or the other day, was like, really? Yes, really. Exodus 18:15. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God." So we see Moses as the example of being a middleman for the people to get to God. Okay, let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And I will do better. I like how Pastor Coleman has all the scriptures in a line, so you don't have to bounce back and forth and can move a lot more faster. I'm going to get better. Okay. 1 Kings 22, we'll start in verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." And we'll come back to this. I just kind of wanted just to touch on the idea of, in the Bible, you know, wanting to get to God and trying to go through another man. And obviously, we know during this time of 1 Kings, King Ahab is the king of Judah or Yehudah, and then Jehoshaphat is the, Ahab is the king of Israel, of the northern tribes, and Jehoshaphat is the king of the south or of the tribes of Judah. Okay, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. Miss Sandy, you're fast. Second Kings chapter 8, verse 8. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So we have a king who's sick. He needs to know, what's going on with me? Will I make it? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, starting in verse 12. I'll tell you what, and I'm going to read that out the Tanakh. I have my Tanakh notes on that one. So, 2 Kings 22, starting in 12. It'll be the same, but a little bit different. Okay. The king commanded Hilkiah the Kohen, Ahakim, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go and inquire of Hashem on my behalf and on the behalf of the people and on behalf of all of Judah concerning the words of this scroll that was found, for great is the wrath of Hashem that has been incited against us because our fathers have not listened to the words of this scroll to fulfill all that was written for us. So Hilkiah the Kohen, Akim, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, son of Tikva, son of Haras, the keeper of the royal garments who dwelt in Jerusalem in the study house, and they spoke to her. She said to them, thus said Hashem, God of Israel, say to the man who sent you to me, thus said Hashem, behold, I am bringing evil upon this place and upon its inhabitants, namely all the words of the scroll that the king of Judah read, because they have forsaken me and burned offerings to the gods of others, in order to anger me with all their handiwork, that my wrath has been incited against this place, and it will not be extinguished. And concerning the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Hashem, thus should you say to him, thus said Hashem, God of Israel, regarding the words that you have just heard, because your heart is soft and you humbled yourself before Hashem, when you heard that which I have spoken about this place and its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you rent your garments and cried before me, I too have heard the word of Hashem. That's one of my favorites because that's King Josiah. King Josiah. Okay, so we have here examples of a king or person or whoever going through a prophet or a seer or somebody to get to the Lord. Okay, now we can inquire of God. Matter of fact, we should always inquire of God so he can be in control of our life, not ourselves, which usually would have Satan in the background giving directions, right? If we're in control, if we're whatever, we're selfish, or we're about ourselves, 9 times out of 10, when it's about us, we got a sidekick. That sidekick is Satan. He's telling us, this is how you should live your life. Well, the Most High has already laid out the perfect foundation on how you should go about your business, right? Christ made it real simple. Love your God, love your neighbor, okay? Very two repeated Torah concepts, okay? Christ is the mediator for men to God. 1 Timothy, don't turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Christ is the mediator for men to God. We have a middleman, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the man to get us to the man. No other man, nobody else, no priest, pastor, rabbi, teacher, internet, whatever. We have to be able to get to the Lord. We have to inquire of the Lord, okay? So let's look at some people who did inquire of the Lord. Turn to Genesis 25, please. Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Y'all give me a shout whenever you get there. Genesis 25, and we will start in 22. I'll read this twice here. Well, maybe not. Time is of the essence. In the Tanakh 25:22, the children agitated within her, and she said, "If so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of Hashem. In the King James, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. So she didn't go to her husband. She didn't go off and find anybody. She went and she inquired to the Lord. She did it, okay? She went and inquired of the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. So apparently, some people understood the concept of a personal relationship with your Lord. Some people understood that, a personal relationship. I have a question to the Father. I need to go to the Father. I can't wait on Joe to give me word. I got to go to the Father. 1 Samuel 30:8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David inquired to the Lord. Could David have possibly reacted and just went on his own and did his own thing? Yeah. But we'll see with David, he inquires to the Lord. That's why David was so successful in battle. Philistines is lining up across the valley. There's so many of them, you can't even count. Either you run or you go fight. Fight or flight, right? Either you go fight or you... David inquires to the Lord. He actually does this a lot. He inquires a lot before he does anything. So think about that in your personal life. Anything you do, job, finances, wife, husband, kids, whatever, if you inquire first, "Well, Lord, what do you think about this? Father, what do you think about that? I got a question about this." Okay? So inquiring of the Lord. Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel 23. Turn back a couple chapters. 1 Samuel 23. And we'll start in verse 1. 1 Samuel 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand.'" Okay, so there's bunch of Philistines. Some people are scared. A lot of stuff's going on. And David didn't move a muscle. He didn't move an inch. He inquired not once. He inquired twice. So sometimes you might have to ask the Lord more than once. The pressing in, the pushing in. So I might have to ask more than once, twice, three, four, five times to inquire of the Lord. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We'll start in verse 19. 2 Samuel 5, we'll start in verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. And said the Lord, he hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burnt them. And the Philistine came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Stop right there. Now, this is interesting. They just kicked their butts, right? They just kicked their butts. Now, they come back again for more. Why didn't he just go? Why didn't he just go? So, is this with like pride and me, myself? I'm a mighty warrior of God. I'm a going. In the scriptures it says, and when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fet a compass behind them and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going and the troops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba unto thou come to Gezer. Now, he inquired the second time. He didn't just go, we had a great victory, we're going to go kick their butts again. He inquired again, and the Most High gave him a plan. We're going to fight them a different way. So if he'd have went on his own, I wonder what would have happened. If he'd have went on his own. But he inquired of the Most High, and the Most High said, we're going to do it this way. And then you have a tactical switch. There was a change of plan. Here, we're going to go over. And when you hear this, you go fight. Yeah. Wow. Mosai is so good. So we have to be good, because he's always good. So once again, inquiring and pushing in sometimes than once, twice, whatever it is. We have to keep pushing in to the Mosai, because he will answer, because he's just that good. 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. Looks too far. Starting at verse 1. And we'll stop at verse 9. I will be in the Tanakh on this one. 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 9. In the days of David, there was once a famine for 3 years, year after year. David inquired of Hashem, and Hashem said, it is for Saul and for the house of blood, for his having killed the Gibeonites. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. The Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but from the remnant of the Amorite. The children of Israel had sworn not to harm them, but Saul had tried to strike them down in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. David said unto the Gibeonites, what can I do for you, and how can I atone for this sin, so that you will bless the heritage of Hashem? The Gibeonites replied to him, we have no claim of silver or gold against Saul, nor against his house, and we have no innocent man in Israel to put to death. He said to them, whatever you say, I will do for you. They said to the king, the man who annihilated us and who schemed against us, that we be eliminated from remaining within the entire border of Israel. Let 7 men of his sons be given to us, and we will hang them for the sake of Hashem in Geba of Shebal, the chosen one of Hashem. The king then said, I will give them to you. The king had mercy on Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, because of the oath of Hashem that was between them, between David and Jonathan, son of Saul. So the king took the two sons of Rizpah, daughter of Ahi, whom she bore to Saul, Armani and Mephibosheth. Anyway, and the 5 sons of Michal, daughter of Saul, whom she bore to Adriel, son of Barzillai, the something. He delivered them into the hand of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the mountain before Hashem. All 7 of them fell together. They were put to death during the first days of the harvest, at the beginning of the barley harvest. So there's a problem. There's a famine. Lord, what's going on? He inquires. Well, Saul, there's some blood that needs to be cleared up. Well, David, some things need to be cleared up. What does David do? He gets it done. He does the will of the Lord. He inquired, he asked, he got the right information, and he got it done, and then everything was fine as far as the famine. Let's turn to Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78. Okay, Psalm 78, and we'll start in 34, and I'm going to read it twice in the King James and the Tanakh. In 78 of Psalms, verse 34 through 35, when he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Read this again in the Tanakh here for you. When he slew them, then they would seek him. They would repent and pray to God. They would remember that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. And in this psalm, it's referring to the Israel or the tribes that had been scattered out. Okay. And the Most High, it says, when he slew them, then they sought him. Then they returned and they inquired. Okay. The thing that really stuck out was in verse 35. This is kind of off the topic, but something that I know one point in time will happen that when the church, the whole body, you know, we got Sunday, you got Sabbath, but when the people that are just Sunday Christians understand that when you see, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer, the words rock and redeemer, they have to be able to understand that that is Yeshua. That is Jesus. That is Christ, because he is the rock. He is our Redeemer. So we got to be able to look into the Bible as one book, one great book, and not have the separation of New Testament or Old Testament. So, you know, we have to be able to kind of teach that there's all kind of signs pointing to Christ in the Old Testament. Just as much as Christ preached Torah and preached the beginning, okay? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Amen. Ezekiel 36, and we'll start in 33. Ezekiel 36, we'll start in 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Now, this whole chapter 36 is talking about, and in the title in my Bible, it says, Israel comforted, okay? And at some point, there will be a restoration of Israel, a restoration of Judah. You know, and so this is referring to whenever this time happens. Now, something interesting, the Most High says that I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. So can the Lord not be inquired of you? Can the Lord refuse your inquiry? Let's see. We will find out. We will return to that concept a little bit later if I can move fast enough. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and we will start in verse 1:10. 1 Peter 1:10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating that he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So the prophets inquired. They inquired. They searched it out. They dug deep. And they already knew about Christ. So I wonder how the prophets would have been if it was kind of flip-flopped and they were around, if they were able to be alive whenever the time that Christ came back. I just couldn't imagine Jeremiah and Isaiah being side by side with Christ. Woo, you talking about a dream team. Woo, man, I could not have, because they already knew. They didn't need to be persuaded. They didn't need a miracle. They already knew. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ was already on them. They had inquired. They had already, they knew this eons ago. Okay, we'll switch it up a little bit. Another word for inquire, okay, it was called bakar. Bakar, okay? To plow, break forth, inspect, admire, care for, consider, inquire, seek, search, seek with pleasure. Seek with pleasure, okay? And a physical example of that would be me looking at my wife and saying, Kelly, your eyes are just gorgeous. I love how you smile. When you smile, it lights up the room. I'm inquired of your beauty. Okay, now let's turn to Psalm 27, verse 4, and you'll see where I'm going with that. I mean, I do mean that, but I'm just saying. Psalm 27. So it's the same word inquire, but it was another meaning. And I thought it was just outstanding. So I had to just. Okay, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So the one-on-one personal relationship you have with your Father, Lord, your glory, Lord, your majesty, Lord, the brightness of your coming, Lord, your protect, Lord, your love, I want to inquire of that. It's a little bit deeper. The one-on-one, Lord, I love you. I love the way you have done things, the creation, it's beautiful. I want to inquire of that. I want to sit at your feet, Lord. It's a different kind of inquiring, a different kind of inquiring as just to maybe asking a question, searching or seeking. It's a little bit deeper. Lord, you're just amazing. I just want, just kind of hope, can I just touch you? Will you touch me, Lord? Bakar was that meaning of inquire. Okay, we're going to turn to the Torah. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to look at what the Most High says about inquiring not of him. Can you inquire not of the Most High? And let's just see what the one who sits on the throne says about that. Chapter 12, verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Deuteronomy 13, 14. Deuteronomy 13, 14. And I'll start at 13. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. So in this part, inquire and find out. If somebody's doing this, you do this, 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 and this. Get rid of the sin out of the camp. Just kind of summarizing, okay? Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, starting at verse 2. Just amazes me how fast the time goes. 17:2. If there be found among you within the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon, or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told to thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing is certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. So some of these, the Lord is saying, you know, not only do you not do it, but if you know of somebody doing this, extract them out of here, subtract them quickly, in a quick fast, in a hurry. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. We'll start at verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Don't let them be found in the camp. Okay? So those are just some kind of quick summarizing of just some of the things the Most High and the Torah said not to do, not to be dealing with as far as inquiring other gods, other deities, other, and if you notice even there, a witch or a wizard. So not even going to worship Baal. Okay? There's one thing to go worship Baal, but don't go to the hand car lady down the street and get your hand read, right? Okay, so now let's look at 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28, we're going to look at some people who did these things. We're just going to see what was the end result of that. I really got to move. 1 Samuel 28, starting in verse 6. 1 Samuel 28, starting in verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, or by the prophets. And then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Okay, so David's not inquiring of another god or another prophet or a witch, but he's inquiring of another woman. Seeking out another woman, searching another woman. And as we know, David paid the consequences for that one. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1. We're looking at bad inquiring. When we get a little bit later, you'll see why. Why we're in the jam that we're in today. 2 Kings chapter 1, starting in verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick, and he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And real quick, Beelzebub was one of the supreme divinities for the Phoenicians and Canaanites. Zebub in Hebrew means fly, so Lord of the fly. 6, verse 6, and they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So the Torah says, do not inquire of other gods, witches, wizards, whatever. We got a king doing that, and a prophet stops him on the way. A prophet of the Lord, and says, this is what the Most High says, okay? In 16, that same chapter, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Starting in verse 13. 10:13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquire not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom of David, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. It's pretty plain. 2 Chronicles 18. 2 Chronicles 18. I'm sorry, I gotta go fast. I gotta move. 2 Chronicles 18, starting in verse 4. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Let's shoot on down to 6. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Into 7. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the same of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Now remember earlier we went over this, and we said we'll kind of come back, okay? So Jehoshaphat and Ahab, okay? Ahab is wicked. They're doing their thing. Jehoshaphat, they're actually keeping the ways of the Lord in Judah at that time. They're just kind of collaborating for whatever reason. Now, look at what the prophet says as he returns home. Okay, they've had the battle. Ahab gets killed. Israel gets the butt kicked. You know, Jehoshaphat makes it. Okay, now 19, 2 Chronicles 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanai, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them and hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Okay, freeze. Did they listen to the prophet that said, hey, if you go up there, you're going to get hammered? Or did Jehoshaphat agree with Ahab and listen to all those, whatever, how many ever prophets it was, saying, oh, you're going to do this, oh, you're going to do that? He listened to the other prophets. So, was he listening to the spirit of the Most High? Nope. Now, we do know in the scripture that the Lord did send one of his angels' request to be a lying spirit. Okay? But a prophet of the Lord gave a word, and he did not heed to it. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. We will kind of return to that, seeking God. Okay, Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. So, long story short, Jehoshaphat, he got jammed up there. A prophet said, "What are you doing? What are you doing working with the ungodly? You know how he is. You know where he's at with the Lord, and you're helping him. That's on your head, brother." But luckily for him, he was keeping the ways. He was keeping the commandments. Right? Luckily, he was keeping the commandments. So that should be once again, keeping the commandments is always, it's like the base. You can never get away from that, no matter how you try to spin it. Ezekiel 14, starting in verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all? Therefore, speaking to them and saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up idols in his heart, and put up the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. The question is, what kind of answer are you going to get? Okay, Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to do a lot of reading on this one, so you just got to excuse me. But it's got to be done. Okay, Ezekiel 20. And we're still on the topic of inquiring, right and wrong in inquiring. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into the land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me. They would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them. In bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes, I showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, plural, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths, plural, they greatly polluted them, and I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Because we're supposed to be examples in front of the lost. Examples in front of them. Yet I also lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not give them into the land which I had gave them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, plural. For their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared from them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said to the children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Action. And hallow my Sabbaths, plural. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live, and I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. Remember the Torah where we had read where you don't pass them through the fire, you don't do the witches, the wizards, and that. Okay, I'm just kind of want to throw it back out there. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and saying to them, thus said the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices. And there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place where into you go? And the name thereof is Bama unto this day. Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all these idols. Even unto this day, shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. That was a lot of reading. But all that, and to end it, I will not be inquired of by you. The Lord does not change, correct? So today, look at today. Look at the Israel or the church or the congregation or the believers today. Do you honor the Sabbath? Plural. Do you have idols? Plural. Do you worship other gods? I can't be inquired of by you. I will not change. Hashem will not change. So today, United States of America, very, very pagan, free, happy-going country right now. Will we be inquired when the Lord starts doing what he does and the things, the natural things that just start to happen, the chaos? Will he hear us? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. So when the holiday season rolls around and you do those things, will he hear you? Tough, but it's real. Now, on the positive side, real quick, 2 Chronicles. After just reading all that, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm in first. 2 Chronicles 7. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Then will I hear from heaven. If you repent, if you stop doing the things that I call wicked, then I'll hear you. But if you don't, Ezekiel 20:31, I will not be inquired of by you. So if you want to be inquired of by the Lord, repent. Turn back from wicked ways. Seek his face. Okay. All right. Moving on. Sha'al or Sha'el means ask. Inquire, request, demand, lent, request earnestly, beg, charge, consult, greet, obtain, leave, pray, straightly, surely, wish. Okay. And we'll be in some New Testament scriptures here. So in Greek, ask is ateho. Ask, desire, beg, require, crave, call for. Suggest the attitude of the suppliant, the petition of the one who is lesser in position than he to whom the petition is made. Example, man to God, child to parent, subject to king, priest and the people to Pilate. Kill him! Crucify him! Asking. Kill him! Beggar, passerby. This is more of a submissive and suppliant term. So ask in the scriptures is more of a some kind of submissively, okay? Let's turn to Matthew 7:7. I'm going to have to skip some stuff, but it's all right. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So, proper asking will take you back to the law and the prophets. That's what he says. However you want somebody to do something for you, you do it for them. This is the law and the prophets. So you treat your neighbor, your brother right, your friend or whatever, person you don't know right, ask me, stick to the law and the prophets, I got you. Interesting. Let's turn to Luke and kind of keep your finger on that Matthew 7. Luke 11:9. Luke 11:9. I'm sure we've probably heard, you know, the Gospels are pretty much the same, right? It's just from a different writer or a different man's perspective. Well, this is interesting here. It struck me kind of hard the other day. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Or if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, wait a minute. In Matthew 7, Christ is talking about asking, and it ends with the law and the prophets. Luke 11, it ends with the Holy Spirit. The true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. Matthew 7, it ends in law and the prophets, about asking. For the most part, almost the same thing. Luke ends it with the Holy Spirit. Matthew's talking about the law and the prophets. Hand in hand. And that's in your Bible in red letters. The Most High is good. James chapter 4. We'll start in verse 3. Now, it's kind of starting in the middle of 2. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. What are you asking for? One of the words of the Greek words about ateho was your attitude. So you asking bossfully? Are you asking pridefully? Are you asking with, like, hidden agendas? Because the Most High knows your heart. The Most High knows your heart. So how are you asking? What are you asking for? Okay? What's your attitude? John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, asking, you'll do greater works than me. Christ is going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. But if you love me, if you want me to do these things for you, you love me, I love you, you got to keep my commandments. Red letters, big red letters. 15:7, still in John. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide, and just kind of remember that, abide in his word. Abide in his word. John 16, 23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ask in my name. Ask in my name. Okay. All right. Isaiah 30, verse 2. Isaiah 30, verse 2. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So we once again, did you ask me before you did that? Did you ask your father? What did I think? What did I think you should be doing? Did you ask? And sometimes we don't. A lot of times we don't. Matthew 21, verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed, and it be cast into the sea, it will be done, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And I think John, either one of those Johns, 14 or 15, if you abide in my word. Well, here it is, 1 John. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments. We do things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. I think they know what they're talking about. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So we have a group of people asking. One mind, one body, one concept, striving together, asking the Lord. And the Lord does hear. And he did hear. Psalm 21. Psalm 21:4. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him, even length of days forever and ever. He asked. And the Lord gave. So if we're right, and with the things that the Lord called right, when we ask him, he will answer. So it's kind of like, I need something. I need money or a car or something. And the Lord knows, he knows our needs. The question is, are you asking the right question? Do you need to be asking the Lord about the car or about transportation or about money? Or do you need to be asking about my hard heart, my stubbornness, my pride? I need you to fix this. He'll take care of the car or the money or the bill or whatever. I need to ask them is about me. I got an issue with me on this or that. That's the proper form of asking, kind of being submissive to Lord. Look, you know I need this because I'm broke, but my heart is hard as titanium, you know. Hosea, book of Hosea, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 12. My people asked counsel at their stocks, and their staff declared unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. So once again, who are you asking to? You know, the prosperity God that rains down everything you need, and you know, who are you asking? You know, who are you asking? Who are you believing in? You know, are you believing in, you know, some earthly figure that's your middleman to the light or to the whatever? You know, who are you asking? You know, and apparently the Lord's people are asking the wrong people, and that's still going on today. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting in verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So what are you asking? What are you asking? What are you asking in your prayer? What are you talking to about the Lord? Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, starting in verse 11. Thus saith Hashem, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed it, ask me about the future events, about my sons, and about the actions of my hands, shall you command me. I made the earth and I created mankind upon it. It is I. My hand spread out the heavens and I commanded all its host to come into existence. We have to ask him who created all things. Okay. Hakash means seek in Hebrew. Hakash or Hakash. Search out by any method, specifically worship or prayer, strive after, seek, require, request, seek out, inquire, besought, ask, sought for, begging, desire, get, inquisition. And if you notice, the word worship was used for inquiring and for seeking worship. Find something that is lost or missing, or at least whose location is unknown. This word can be used not only to seek a location, but it can be used as a person's mind state. Where's your mind at when you're in your search, in your seeking? In Greek, seek, zateho, to seek. In Hebrew, to worship God. That's what it says. In a bad sense, plot against. Seek for, go about, desire, be about, endeavor, inquire for. As a metaphor, to seek by thinking how to do something, what to obtain. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 29. But if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things have come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient to his voice, seek something that is lost. You know, when you do not know the ways of the Lord, Sabbaths, holy days, his time, you're lost. You are lost if you do not know. So in order to seek the Lord, you got to find these things out. You got to study. You have to find out. We'll go back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek. So we went over ask. We know what ask really means. Now seek. Ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. So if you're seeking diligently, if you're asking, being humble, you will get what you want from the Lord. And you will find what you're trying to find in the Lord. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12:29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added to you. So whatever situation people are in, if you're seeking the Most High first, if you're asking him submissively about yourself as opposed to what you need, then he'll answer. So there's a proper way of asking. There's a proper way of seeking the Lord. Okay, Luke 13. Luke 13, starting in verse 23. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. They will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say unto you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught us in your streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out, then they will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. I do not know you. People are going to be seeking to get into. But apparently they weren't seeking the right thing. They weren't seeking the right way. Luke 17. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. So once again, where's your mind at? You seeking to save your life? Or are you willing to lose your life or lose the world around you for the Lord? Totally different thing. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll start in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with all their whole heart. So we have to seek the Lord with all our whole heart. So our mind state, and only the Lord knows your mind, seeking the Lord with all your heart, which was also Deuteronomy chapter 4. Turn to Psalm, stay in 119 to 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So apparently, I've gone away like we all do. But since he has not forgotten the commandments, he's expecting the Lord to seek him, to save him. Turn to Matthew 6. I'm about to wrap this up. Matthew 6, starting in verse 6:31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we can't worry. What good would it be to worry? Because if we're worrying, then we're not thinking about the Most High. You're being distracted. And if we're distracted, now, you know, we're not in the right mind state. We have to be in a proper mind state. Proper mind state. Hosea. Let's do a few more and then we'll wrap this up. I know I said that earlier. Hosea 3, verse 5. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days.